Hello there, this is Crystal, and you're listening to the Crystal Archive podcast.
Welcome to the Crystal Archive Podcast, episode number 43. I'm Mr. K, or Mr. Crystal, your host, for this, the first episode in 5 years. Our previous episode was on January 8th, 2020, and I have a lot to talk about as far as what's going on in the last 5 years. However, before I get started, I need to make a small announcement that I'm a little sick. I have something wrong with my throat. It could be a simple cold or sinus issues with allergies, or it could be strep throat. I really don't know at this point. So I'll ask for your patience as you hear me. I sound a little weird today, and I don't know how long my throat will last as I talk through the many points that we'll have this episode. So thanks for being patient and for being here. Let's get started right away with what's gone on. Why has there been a whole 5 years between this episode and the previous one, episode number 42? And the answer is many different things. Several things conspired to make my podcast episodes take a long time, as well as reducing the amount of posts on the site to virtually zero in the last 2 years. A couple of those things had to do with work. I was moved about thanks to COVID situation. It's not that I lost my job. It's that my company went out of business and I was transferred to two different companies over the course of a year and a half. And even before that, there was some issues with, before a company fails, you can kind of see it coming in a lot of cases, especially for a small company such as the one I worked for. And so I knew the dire situation, and I worked that much more hard for my boss to try and do what I could in my small way to keep the company going. Alas, it was not enough, and the company did go out of business. I was very blessed to be able to keep my job indirectly because the company that I had been working for, the client we had been working for to build their software product, decided to hire me to continue to work on it, even as the company I worked for failed. And after that, they were acquired. And so in the course of a couple of years, I worked for three different companies, but on the same project. It was a very strange time. Furthermore, after that, it became very apparent that the software project we were working on would need to be restarted. The acquiring company did not like the direction or intent of how we were building the software. They liked the idea of the software, but not how it was implemented. And so as a result, we start over. We basically started over. And this time with me being in charge of the software development, that meant a tremendous amount of extra work, learning a whole new field of software that I wasn't working with before, and also being in charge of one or two other programmers, basically teaching them how to program from scratch and molding them to be the coworkers that I needed them to be to help me finish the project. I'm happy to say that it was successful beyond my wildest dreams, and we did indeed successfully deliver the software project. But if you don't already know about how software development works, there is no such thing as a finished piece of software. It is simply abandoned. You get it to the point where you can no longer afford to keep working on it and you release it, or you release what you have before working on the next part. It's never truly finished. So I say that to say that I still have plenty of work to do, and it's not as though my job has slowed down much now that we've successfully completed the project. There's always new features requested and always new projects coming down the pipeline. So I expect to be similarly busy in the future. However, I have adapted somewhat to the increased workload, and the coworkers that I had trained are now successful programmers in their own right and need much less handholding, of which I am very proud. I'm very proud of them. Another situation, a positive development, I would say, in my life. At the beginning of 2024, I got a girlfriend, and we dated for 5 months. This is the longest time I'd ever dated anyone. That took a tremendous amount of my time. Unfortunately, while she's a very nice girl, she did not end up working out. I could tell that we were not right for each other, and so unfortunately I had to break her heart and break up with her. I think it was the right decision, but for those 5 months, I was basically spending all of my extra time with her. So that's another aspect of why the site was delayed. There was little posting. Another problem was I simply fell out of the habit. When you work on a site and you post every day, it can become a good habit where you know every day you're going to post something. But when you fall out of that habit, the news stories and the emails pile up and it becomes harder and harder to restart. And that's also what happened with the Crystal Archive. And lastly, for the last 2 years or so, I've also begun another hobby, with that hobby kind of accelerating in its intensity in the last year, in 2024. And that is, I've been doing more retro gaming and retro gaming collecting. If you don't know, collecting retro games is most efficiently done, it seems, by going on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or the like and messaging people and driving a lot to go and physically pick up things with cash. And so that took up a lot of spare time as well as all the other stuff about categorizing my new finds, cleaning and testing cartridges, and that sort of thing. So that's an explanation for why things have been so slow and quiet with me, with the site. I apologize for that. I'm trying this year to be a little better, and that brings me to this year, the plan for this year. I'm going real hard on my New Year's resolutions. I've given myself about 9 New Year's resolutions that have a very specific tracking regimen, something I can do every single day to keep myself motivated and focused on accomplishing these goals. I'm not going to mention what all of them are. However, one of them is the intent to post something on the Crystal Archive every single day of the year. That's 365 posts, at least, plus additional work that needs to be done to update the site, which I hope to begin in this year. I've also, this is not so much a day-to-day thing to work on, but one of my, not goals, but focuses of the new year, not just for the Crystal Archive, but for my entire life, is to prefer to finish projects rather than starting new ones. I hope to finish many projects this year, including stuff related to the Crystal Archive, instead of getting bogged down by starting more and more new projects and then never finishing them. So I'm hoping to get some of the major things that I have had in development, waiting to be finished for the Crystal Archive, actually published in this new year. On that note, I wanted to mention that I know that many of you have emailed me or sent me messages through social media apps that I have not responded to, and I do apologize for that. I can assure you that I do receive every single one of the emails that you send me, and all the messages on Discord and Twitter and all of the other places that I have an account with. However, I usually don't have time to respond. One of my goals this year is to actually go out and reply to those and actually post about things that you have sent me in my email and such that need to be posted. I know from the follow-up emails that I've gotten from some of you that it is frustrating to not hear from me. And I do apologize for that. I must get better about even doing an initial response just to let you know that I received your message, even if I can't reply right away. I'm going to try and do that in this new year, 2025. So with that out of the way, let's go back and look at the past events for the past 5 years. There's way too much to cover entirely, all the stuff that was posted on the site, let alone the things that happened but I didn't get a chance to post. So I'm going to be doing the most important updates that I had posted about by year from 2020, January 8th, 2020, the last episode of the podcast, to the current day. Let's begin with the events that happened right after the release of the previous podcast episode, number 42. First, there was a legendary fan mod called Star Fox Paths of Fate, based on Max Payne 2, a game that had slow-mo shooting mechanics, much like how The Matrix had bullet time. And for this mod, the creator made a very cool-looking tactical crystal model. The model actually gained a lot more fame, I think, than the mod itself, and though the mod was never released after being canceled, we did finally get permission to post the model, and so that model is now available. Miharu the Fox released a huge video about Crystal as an icon within the furry community. I began the Crystal Staff Project, which is an attempt to create Crystal Staff from the games as accurately as possible. This recreation would be done in many steps over several posts throughout the months, and it continues to this day. Super Smash Flash 2 version 1.2 released, which was the first version of the game that allowed you to play as Crystal. Star Fox Assault celebrated its 15th anniversary in 2020. COVID-19 hit like a freight train, shutting down the world's economy and isolating many of us. I tried to keep a positive attitude for everyone and kept updating the site. A new, very highly detailed Crystal cosplay by cosplayer Nalis began showing off progress shots. Kage Kitsune released a high-quality Crystal bust suitable for 3D printing. Rick May, the voice of Peppy Hare and Andross in Star Fox 64, passed away. Longtime reader of the site and personal friend of mine, FoxType 1973, passed away as well. An attempt to recreate the Dinosaur Planet N64 game engine by Hugo Peter, called Warlock Engine, was being prepared for release. A high-quality version of one of the Assault Crystal renders, one we did not get in America, was found, again at very high resolution, after many years. The first of a series of videos by Aspherion showed off his attempt to remake Star Fox Adventures as a much larger game with playable Crystal. I believe it was actually an open-world Star Fox Adventures, and he would later post multiple trailers showing more and more advanced gameplay footage. I personally recreated the Star Fox Adventures logo in a vector format and released it for free for anyone to use. The amazing mod that allows Crystal to be played throughout all of Star Fox Adventures, known as the Amethyst Edition, was released by Rena Kunasakai. Star Fox-inspired indie game EX Zodiac was announced and successfully kickstarted. Undying Nephilim continued to improve and expand his fan game, Star Fox Event Horizon. Famous Crystal cosplayer Ayano Haramaki was still dealing with health issues, but occasionally posted. A huge amount of Nintendo's secret development data and code was leaked, which included Star Fox 2 and Star Fox 64 content, one of the most interesting of which was the uncompressed original voice acting clips for all of Star Fox 64's characters. Unfortunately, we could not fully cover this news item as the data involved was stolen. I discovered that humans were indeed part of the Star Fox canon, although this is probably a mistranslation of the Japanese version of Star Fox Assault. Shadow Snake made more progress on making his fully playable Crystal mod in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I added the now famous Crystal custom emotes to the Discord server, and as a Christmas present, I released the complete set of Crystal vocal sound effects from Star Fox Adventures. That brings us to the end of 2020, and so in 2021, I started posting a little less. While I never lost my job during COVID, there was a lot of pressure, as I said, to work faster and harder. Here's what happened that year on the site. The Crystal Archive celebrated 15 years online. There was going to be an official Star Fox animated show using puppets, but it was canceled. In a shocking event, a near-complete version of Dinosaur Planet, featuring mid-transition assets and story elements, was released to the internet. Technically not stolen or a leak, the internet went wild and many flocked to Discord servers to try and discover what they could and to complete the game's source code. This effort continues to this day. Unfortunately, I was not able to cover in as much detail as I would have liked, but thankfully, there are many, many people doing that work. We learn from a newly translated interview that Shigeru Miyamoto had a huge impact on Crystal's final design. Technicolor Cosplay's Crystal was featured in a print magazine in Canada. Congratulations to the cosplayer Technicolor Cosplay. Shortly after creating and showing off a fantastic Crystal cosplay, the cosplayer Nalis, who I'd mentioned in the previous year, passed away. Takuya Imamura, heavily involved in the development of several Star Fox games, left Nintendo. My computer literally exploded, delaying further site posts for a while. Friend of the site Yumi Aislin completed the first ever Dinosaur Planet-style Crystal cosplay. The tail she made was especially fantastic. And lastly, most of the Star Fox Command ship models were ripped and released. With 2021 complete, there weren't as many posts that year, but 2022 had many large developments, and there were quite a few more posts in this year. To the surprise of everyone, the late cosplayer Nalis suddenly reappeared after passing away. Turns out the cosplayer's family made a tribute by wearing the old costumes and taking photos. New cutscene data was discovered in Star Fox Adventures code. The Crozoa Palace from Star Fox Adventures was ripped and released. This year's April Fool's joke was to make our very own crystal-based cryptocurrency. Surprisingly, several people from outside of the site actually took it seriously. More crystal models from Star Fox Assault and Dinosaur Planet were ripped and released. In 2018, Gagnotar had released his Half-Life 2 mod that totally replaced the character Alex with Crystal, and it was very detailed. Well, he caused the internet to collectively melt down by announcing that Estelle Ellis had agreed to reprise her role as the voice of Crystal in the game. This was big news everywhere, and would lead to Estelle Ellis lending her voice to other fan projects. All of the Crystal voice acting lines from Dinosaur Planet were ripped and published. Estelle Ellis announced her Twitter account, which blew up. One of my favorite Crystal fan art commissions ever, Crystal in a Lab Coat, was finished by artist Pra. Estelle Ellis was announced to play Crystal in Star Fox Event Horizon by Undying Nephilim. Another excellent Crystal cosplayer appeared named Rabinikatu. This cosplay is very similar to Ayano Haramaki's style. Some people noticed that a fan letter in Nintendo Power from many years ago was the new oldest known Crystal fan art. With the 20th anniversary of Star Fox Adventures coming up, the game and its fans got the spotlight. In a huge video, I showed off my entire Star Fox collection, taking over 30 minutes to go through it all. Several others showed off their Crystal or Star Fox collections, including Ricardo the Fox and Ghost Trick. Many live streams of Star Fox Adventures were done. Tribute artwork and songs were made. Jacob, a cosplayer, did a Fox McCloud cosplay and then later recreated the merchant scenes from Star Fox Adventures. After much hype, the huge update to the Half-Life 2 mod, featuring Estelle Alice's voice as Crystal, was finally released. Finally, to end off the year, Rife 2002 created a Crystal mod for DNF Duel, a fighting game, and got Estelle Ellis to voice Crystal. I helped commission character artwork for the mod. With 2022 over, we entered 2023, and that's where things really started to slow down for the site. But we did have a few updates. Retro Studios apparently had pitched a Star Fox reboot heavily focused on multiplayer. Jock Blaney, the voice of Wolf and Bill from Star Fox 64, was announced as a voice actor in Star Fox Event Horizon. Over time, the game, the fan game Star Fox Event Horizon, would gain many of the original voice actors and other voice actors who, while not originally from the games, were very talented. Reynolds Logistics, a trucking company, appears to have a logo identical to Crystal's spiral tattoo. Another very old Crystal fan art was found, and though it was probably published on the internet earlier than the one that appeared in Nintendo Power, it is almost certainly not as old in terms of creation date. Angel the Vixen was developing a Crystal mod for The Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker. There were absolutely no posts on the site for 2023 after June. That's a really long time with no posts. During this time, I was actively being shuffled around in my job, even as our company ran out of money and began to shut down. In 2024, my habit of no longer updating the site continued, though there were some notable events. Estelle Ellis announced a project to create an emotional support plushie based on a combination of herself and Crystal, called Christelle, a sort of fan character for her. A Fox and Crystal dual cosplay appeared at the Montreal Comic Con, and we found out more about them. Their skit was cut short, but Crystal won a prize. In spite of being relatively new cosplayers, they did a fantastic job. Crystal's staff was also very impressive, fully lighting up. I tried to post more things during this time, showing off several Crystal figurines sent to my email inbox. Jacob, the cosplayer who had previously recreated the shopkeeper scenes, announced his intent to recreate the intro to Star Fox Adventures as a cosplay-based fan film. And finally, Star Fox Event Horizon development continued to march on, with Undying Nephilim persistently continuing to work on his massive fan project. He did a big interview with streamer Fox Daddy towards the end of the year. And that brings us to 2025. As I said, I plan to post every day, even on weekends. So far, I've only missed 2 days, and I'll probably add 2 extra posts to make up for it. At least 365 days in 2025 is the goal, along with some other much-needed site updates. To that end, these are the posts that have happened so far this year. We talked about how Star Fox 64 has successfully been decompiled, so you can use the project on your own machine and recompile the game to run natively on your PC. This will probably lead to major mods, even complete reworks of the game. Angel the Vixen, the one who had made the Wind Waker mod, has started work on a mod for Crystal in The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. It's currently on hold, but work will resume soon. After many delays, Jacob was able to release his Star Fox live-action fan film. Crystal has made several appearances in Terminal Montage's videos throughout the past, and his newest one about Crash Bandicoot includes a very quick cameo of Crystal. Estelle Ellis announced that she was working on a new Crystal plushie, possibly with an accessory. The Crystal Archive happily announced that it had been online for 19 years on January 8, 2025. I asked everyone for questions and comments to go over on this podcast, and you guys really delivered. Hoplin created a Crystal mod for Marvel Rivals and plans to improve it soon. Over 2024, I had been working on the improved staff project's head and tail tips. I made a detailed post showing off the new models and making them available for purchase. And finally, posted today, as I recorded this, I showed off the Fox McCloud cosplay by Keyblade Sonic, who was the original commissioner of the staff project's version 2 tips. And that concludes all the past events I wanted to talk about. I didn't get to go into as much detail as I would have liked. It's just a summary. But my throat's still killing me, and we've got a lot more show to do. I had to remove a bunch of coughing and sniffling from this podcast already. Rather than being foolish and telling you what I plan to do in the next year, in 2025, for the site, when my past track record of actually completing said designs is very, very, very bad, I will instead focus the rest of the episode on all the great questions and comments that you were so gracious to send in at my request. So we're going to go through these in order and somewhat off the cuff. I did have time to read through these to make sure they were appropriate, but I have not had time to fully think through my answers. So these are going to be somewhat of a stream of consciousness. First up, Sunnyside asks, I'm curious what inspired you to create the Crystal Archive, and how you were able to maintain it after all these years. Well, I've answered this question many times before, Sunnyside, and the reason why I created the archive was multiple reasons. But back in 2006, I found myself in possession of quite a bit of Crystal-specific knowledge. I had been following Star Fox in general, and Crystal in particular, for a few months, and I felt that I was in the position to provide a resource to the internet as one of the foremost experts of Crystal at the time, and still to this day. Also, I had come into possession of unreleased audio of Crystal from Star Fox Adventures. Some of the first exclusive content for the site was also what the site launched with. Stuff like where Crystal was asking if Fox would kiss her at the end of Star Fox Adventures, cut audio that never actually made it into the game. Well, you have to post that somewhere, and I didn't want it to be just on a forum somewhere. So I made a site to gather all of the official resources I could, and also would begin to start posting about fan works like fan art and fan fiction. You probably don't remember it. Most people don't, because it was 19 years ago. But the first version of the site wasn't really in the blog format. It was, I believe, a static site with just areas you could go to for each page, representing like videos or audio or articles and such. It was only a few months later when I actually migrated to WordPress and it became a blog. There was a separate blog, I believe on Google Blogs, where I tried to do Crystal-related posts, and that formed the blog until I actually merged the two as a WordPress blog. And that kind of answers the second question. The reason I'm able to maintain it after all these years is because it's just a WordPress blog running on my server. There's some upkeep, but it's not terribly difficult to keep it maintained. That's just handled by the software and the database. Now, going forward, I'd like to start to move away from WordPress as much as I can, and that's going to mean a little more effort. However, as a programmer, I plan to automate this system so it will be even easier than my current routine editing and updating WordPress. Plague Dr. Lawrence asked several questions. I'm going to answer each one in turn. First, should Nintendo develop a full lore for Star Fox, like The Lord of the Rings or Star Wars? Or should it stay the way it is, with a mostly established world, but with enough gaps for fans to go wild with filling in the blanks and making things up? Well, that's an interesting question. I'm not a big fan of headcanons and fanon. I much prefer the canon information. So, the idea that the creators of Star Fox would leave a lot of room for fans to create their own stories is both a positive and a negative thing to me, because I think people get very attached to their headcanon in a way that can make them almost gatekeepers for the fandom. It's very strange. There are many things about the Star Fox fandom in particular that are taken as gospel that there's absolutely no evidence for whatsoever, and people read into the games what they wish to see. So I tend to be very strict about how I deal with canon, and I will only say what actually is and not speculate too far beyond that. As for how we should deal with full lore, I think it would be good for Star Fox to have a little bit better defined lore. However, I recognize that Nintendo's normal operating procedure with game development is to design the game first around mechanics and then construct a story to fit those mechanics afterwards. I think that's one of the large benefits, one of the large pieces of secret sauce that Nintendo has that other games, game companies often stumble with. Valve seems to be pretty good with this. They will make a game with mechanics and then tend to work the story in to fit those mechanics. It's a back and forth, and I think that's appropriate for game development, because if you have your story and it's rigid at the beginning, unlike a movie or book, the game is supposed to be somewhat dynamic by comparison. It's supposed to be interactive. It's supposed to be something where you tell your own story as you play. But if you have a story that's very well defined and locked in, well, that creates for a very linear experience and not much room for interesting gameplay. So, as difficult as it is to say, I think what Nintendo is currently doing with Star Fox, and that is having some lore, but not strictly defined lore, is probably the best of both worlds for this universe. Plague Dr. Lawrence's second question. What would be the best thing that Nintendo can add to Star Fox to better flesh out the world, in my opinion? What would they do to flesh out the world? I think that Star Fox could benefit from a so-called open universe gameplay. So right now, most Star Fox games are somewhat linear. There are branching paths, but what you do at each location is fairly well structured. That goes for both the traditional flying Star Fox games like Star Fox 64 to Star Fox Adventures, which featured a completely linear story. You couldn't really sequence break it. It certainly wasn't open world. And that's not to say that open world solves all problems, but Star Fox, the team Star Fox, is supposed to be a mercenary group. In theory, they should be picking up missions all the time, not just from the Cornerian military. So I think one of the easiest ways that they could further flesh out the universe that they're in is simply to allow Star Fox to exist and do things outside of the context of a direct war. So they can be going on escort missions for an armada of ships, or they can be doing exploration missions or research missions, all with different mechanics. All could be done simply by flying R-wings, but the context in which they are portrayed can make a significant difference on the gameplay and goals of each mission. I think that would be the biggest single change they could make that would be the most efficient way to improve their lore. The last question from Plague Dr. Lawrence was, what is your ideal version of Serenia? Advanced, primitive, magical, technological, or a mix of multiple things? He's of course referring to Crystal's home planet, the doomed planet Serenia. It is many people's headcanon that Crystal is a princess, or otherwise a member of royalty from Serenia. There's absolutely no evidence to support this. She is only unusual in the sense that she's the only survivor. We don't know why or how the planet was doomed. We don't even know that it's destroyed, only that she's the only survivor, presumably because everyone else is dead or lost in some way. I think that given her staff and her abilities, perhaps some kind of magitech-based society where there's technology, but it's fueled and centralized around magic might be the most accurate to what we see in the games. And it would form a very interesting thing to me personally, because it's not something you see very often. Star Fox in general is a very sci-fi heavy universe, with Crystal being the exception of having psychic powers and access to a, quote, magical staff. I think that it being a society of magitech could bridge that gap a little easier than just having a random character who happens to be magical, but with no explanation within the universe. The next question comes from Marcus McLeod, who asked a couple questions. First, why does it take so long to publish an episode? Well, it's not so much the podcast episodes, although they do take a long time to edit. After I've recorded them, they take a while to edit as well. No, the reason why we didn't publish very often is because we didn't post very often. The time it takes to do a podcast requires sitting down, working out notes, reading through them, and editorializing them as you go, and then going back through and listening and editing the podcast to remove ums and ands and moments of silence. So a podcast episode represents maybe 4 to 5 hours or more of effort compared to maybe 20 minutes to an hour for the average Crystal Archive news post. So there's definitely incentive to do something else. Question number 2 from Marcus McLeod reads, Are you going to talk about how fans have recently gotten Crystal into projects? And when he says Crystal here, he's referring to Estelle Ellis as she participates in these fan projects. And I did kind of mention that a little bit in the previous news stories. I think it's great that she's found her niche and found a way to connect with fans. As someone who interviewed her many years ago, I know that she had wanted to kind of interact with fans more and was unsuccessful in her previous attempts. But thanks to all the feedback and attention that was gained from having voiced such an interesting Half-Life 2 mod, that's allowed her to break into the social media scene, and now she lends her voice to many different fan games, mods. I think she's been doing commissions where she will voice Crystal for animations. All sorts of stuff. Probably several things that I haven't yet had a chance to post. Like I said, I think it's great, and I'm glad that she has these opportunities, and she seems to really be enjoying herself. The next question comes from Pastaman64. He asks, I'm curious, what kept you motivated to keep the site running for this long? And have there ever been moments where you considered taking it down? Well, motivation, as you probably noticed in the last couple years, has actually been very low. And that's partly to do with being focused on other projects in real life and people and events that have taken up a lot of my time. And also the fact that the more time I spend not updating the website, the more news and emails that pile up that I know I'm going to have to get back to, which is a huge stressor. It's like, oh no, if I even start to work on this, I've got so much work to do. So the thing that keeps me motivated, I have a little bit of a superpower. Some people don't like to call it that. But as many of you know, I have been diagnosed with a form of autism called Asperger's syndrome. Now, it's relatively mild in me. I can pass as completely normal if I wish to, but it gives me the advantage of being able to focus a tremendous amount. I'm able to focus on something I'm interested in to an absurd degree, and that is what has allowed me to keep the site running so long and not get bored and walk away, is because I can find motivation. I can find interest in Crystal. My interest in Crystal, while it has changed in its aspects over time, the interest in her as a character hasn't changed. She's still an interesting character to me, and so the motivation remains. I also like the fact that there are many people, and I've gotten emails about this, there are many people who read the site and see it, and they thank me. They thank me for what I've done. The next question comes from Crafty Coyote, who asks, after all these years, do we finally know if she can really enjoy her sandwich? I think yes. I've seen enough fan arts and enough 3D animations and enough cosplayers holding sandwiches that I think she's had ample opportunity to eat that sandwich. Nick asks, what's your perfect dream scenario for Crystal appearing in a future game? A standalone starring her? A remastering of a former game, sequel, prequel, or something completely different? Possible design changes, both physical and beyond, or keeping things the same? Just very curious as to what you would ideally be looking for in a perfect future with said game, and what you'd ideally want for her and the game itself around her. This is a great question. What is essentially the future of Crystal and Star Fox? I've said for years that I think Nintendo's plan or strategy to come up with the game mechanics first and then build the story around it is the most appropriate, both for them and probably for the Star Fox universe. As such, I think that the best option for Nintendo, in addition to the whole mission system and somewhat open universe style of gameplay that they could explore, would be to make the Super Smash Bros. Equivalent of a Star Fox game. That is to say, throw out the timeline, throw out logic, and let's just have a Star Fox game with every single character in it. even if it doesn't make sense. So James could be there at the same time that Crystal is there. And you might have missions that take place in certain timelines, certain periods of time, where the appropriate characters would show up. But a single game that had the all-star cast of every Star Fox character would be my ideal. And not just be there as characters. I want every character playable in the sense that every character would have their own ship type. Crystal would have her ship. Fox would have his ship. Falco, Slippy, Peppy, but also James. You could probably play as Wolf. Other weird cases, like let's give Tricky, the Earthwalker, a ship. Let's give him a ship. And the key thing here is, like, it's not just, you know, everybody has a ship, okay? They tried that with Star Fox Command, where the only thing that really differed between the ships was their relative stats. I say, let every character, and therefore every ship, have a wildly different play style, or at least some interesting gimmick to go with each character. For example, Crystal could have a future sight capability, where she could see enemies where they're going to be a few seconds in advance, so she can line up her shots and not be caught off guard. You could have Falco, who's able to fly at tremendous speed in such a way that the game slows down so you can do very accurate flying and shooting that you otherwise wouldn't be physically able to do at a normal gameplay speeds. We could have Slippy, who, using his analysis, would be able to find weak spots on enemies very quickly. And so, while he may not be very strong, very fast, or powerful, he can shoot at exactly the point that would cause engines to fail or weapons depots to explode. Tricky, okay? What kind of special spaceship would Tricky have? Well, he's an Earthwalker, or Triceratops. Instead of having, he wouldn't have lasers or bombs on his ship. He would fly and fight primarily as a ship designed for ramming. And there's all sorts of ideas you could use. You could have missions where they go on missions and go to different places. You could choose which loadout of four team members you could use on that mission. And that would change the dynamic of your playstyle significantly. I would like it so that, you know, you could fly out, starting with whoever's considered the leader of the team, they would fly out first. But in real time, you would be able to swap between your teammates to control them. Not so you're doing everything, but you could choose in the middle of a mission what you'd like to be doing at the time. I think there are still many scenarios available that haven't been explored yet that could be done with ships. One idea I had... I'm just throwing ideas out that I've had, okay? These are, who knows how realistic they are, okay? But this is an idea for a level, okay? Let's say we have a level that's focused around Crystal and her doomed home planet of Serenia. For this, we would say, well, what happened to Serenia? And in my fictional game, again, this is just my opinion. This is not even an opinion. This is like a possible scenario. I don't claim that this is what really happened to Serenia, okay? But this is something that would be interesting. In my interesting idea, Serenia was destroyed by a failed temporal weapon from Andross. So Andross was working on lots of different... We know Andross was working on lots of different projects. He worked on bioweapons. He worked on advanced robotics. He worked on cloning, apparently. And we know he worked on some kind of spirit transfer, given what he did in Star Fox Adventures, because his part of his spirit was able to infest the Krazoa. So I think that what Andross was doing prior to the original war was he was just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. Any kind of potential for a weapon, he was trying it out somewhere. And for Serenia, he needed a location to test a temporal weapon. And his weapon worked in the sense that it destroyed the planet, but it failed in the sense that it was not useful. It did not allow him to conquer the planet. The planet was fully and totally destroyed in a way that was not useful to him. And so he abandoned the project. However, because it's a temporal weapon, a time weapon, the weapon is still going off right now. It never stops going off. So the idea is, The Star Fox team detects a temporal anomaly, and they approach what Crystal recognizes as where she comes from. And as they get closer, they see the planet Serenia exploding and then unexploding over and over and over again. And this creates interesting gameplay mechanics, because as you have to fly through this temporal field, of course, I'm sure Slippy and Rob will come up with some kind of temporal shield that will prevent you from getting stuck in the time loops. But it won't prevent all the physical mass of the planet that's coming in and out from hitting you. So the gameplay is about, in increasingly frequent sequences, the planet pieces are flying at you and past you, and then they fly backwards past you back towards the center of where they came from. And so you have to avoid things coming at you from the front and the back in sequence as they go. And so navigating to the planet is kind of like a puzzle of precision flying. Ultimately, as you get closer and closer to the planet, the explosion speed of exploding and unexploding gets faster and faster until it becomes frantic. But you get right at the core of where the planet is, and you have to, shoot the final shot, much like Luke did when he shot the energy weapon into the Death Star that actually destroyed the weapon. So Crystal or somebody else on the team is going to have to fire the one shot that destroys the still active weapon that's causing these explosions and unexplosions. With the epilogue being that, Crystal is sad because theoretically, her parents would have still be alive. Everyone on the planet would still be alive, kind of, for a few split seconds while the planet was exploding. But she realizes that, they really did die a long time ago. And so she makes peace with that. So that's how you can come up with a gameplay mechanic that can play into a story. You build the story around the gameplay mechanic. That sort of thing. There's so much opportunity still left, even if we're just talking about flying in an R-Wing that you could do, that's not available yet. That's not been done yet. So that's the kind of gameplay I would want to play. Of course, I'd want to play as Crystal, but I'd also want to play as all the other Star Fox characters. And I say all that to say that while I appreciate Star Fox Adventures, I think that Star Fox is at its best when characters are in an R-Wing. I don't think Star Fox makes for a good ground-based game. Now, if they're going to do a ground-based game, it should be fully a ground-based game. I can totally see an open-world Zelda-style, Breath of the Wild-style game featuring Fox and Crystal. We've seen people make fan games that are trying to imitate that. So that would certainly be possible. But if you're talking about Star Fox, the next Star Fox game, I think it needs to be an open universe, primarily vehicle-based, if not exclusively vehicle-based, mission system with many playable characters and lots of new mechanics. That's what I think is my dream of the perfect new game. Even though you're not walking around as Crystal, you would get to play Crystal in theoretically every mission if you wanted to. That's good enough for me. I won't let my love for Crystal overemphasize her impact on a particular game. Crystal, for as cool as she is not the leader of Star Fox and is not the center point of the Star Fox universe. And I don't intend for that to change. Sorry if that disappoints some of you. But that's far too much rambling on my behalf, so let's get on to the next question. Marshall B. made a huge comment, full of questions, so let me read that out first. Congratulations, man. I feel like I've missed out on so much of this site over the years, especially considering that I knew exactly what I was doing around the time that you started the website so long ago. Been on a hardcore Crystal binge lately. I love seeing stuff like this still running. Something that I've wanted for years is another game that shows the dynamic between both Crystal and Fox, and makes it a big part of the plot, like Star Fox Adventures, but much, much deeper. Would also love to see her playable as a Smash character, and if she ever got her own game, I would be pre-ordering it the second I heard about it. Also, do you remember what you posted here on day one back in 2006? Finally, one thing I am strongly opinionated on is that any sort of voiceover work for Crystal in future projects must be done by Estelle Ellis. She is always going to be the OG, and has done so much work with keeping the character in the spotlight, just like you have done here. Well, thank you for that. Let me address each one in turn. It sounds like you've been following the series for a really long time, and that's great. I agree that it would be interesting to see Fox and Crystal's dynamic, perhaps as one of the missions or part of the story of this theoretical perfect game I mentioned earlier. We could talk about or see the time in which Crystal was still a new recruit. She joined the Star Fox team but didn't really know how to pilot a ship. That would be interesting. And that would also allow Fox to take on the mentor role, which would, of course, bring them very close together, much closer than they had been previously. Once we get to Star Fox Assault, they've got a pretty working relationship where Fox is still a little timid around her, but Crystal has already proven herself as a capable pilot and warrior within their team. It'd be interesting to see what it's like, the training scenarios, getting her up to snuff. As for what I posted on day one, 2006, as I said, I think it didn't really have a blog. It didn't have a blog at first. It was just, I would post stuff like voice clips or new videos. And if there was an update, I would say, here's an update. But it wasn't really a blog in the traditional sense. That came later, something like 6 or 7 months later. It's very unfortunate. It appears that I no longer have a copy of what the original site looks like because it was online for only a short time. It never appeared in the Wayback Machine archive in its original form. And it seems that I have lost my own personal records of the original files. It's possible it's still in my hard drive somewhere, but that would take years of digging, so I don't have much hope. If it is there, I'll certainly recreate it and show you what it was like on day one. Lastly, as to your opinion of whether Estelle Ellis should be the only remaining voice actress for Crystal in future games, I think she's a great actress, and I can see her doing more work in the game industry if they would approach her. I suspect, however, that because of her very public appearance on social media and her participation in fan projects, Nintendo might probably skip over her in the future just because they're afraid of leaks. And they just generally don't like to work with actors that are too involved with their own characters, I think. I'm not 100% on that, but it seems to be the case. Nintendo's very, very secretive, and they really want to keep a tight rein on their voice actors. I've heard of them firing voice actors from just talking about what they worked on a podcast. So Estelle Ellis has done far more than that. Jacob Sorrells wrote a large comment with questions. This is Jacob, the one who did the Fox cosplay for the intro to Star Fox Adventures as a live-action fan film, and also who did the recreation of the shopkeeper from Star Fox Adventures. He writes, "Happy birthday, Crystal Archive. My pitch for a true spiritual successor to Star Fox Adventures would be called Star Fox Adventures Serenia. It would involve Fox and Crystal exploring the scattered remnants of Serenia floating around in space. Much like the original adventures, they would have to collect artifacts of sorts to bring the remnants or continents back together to fix the planet, as well as discover the keys to the mysteries behind the planet's past. It would play a lot like Subnautica mixed with the original game. It would emphasize more vehicle gameplay, including the Blue Marine, Landmaster, R-Wing, and the Bike Master. It would balance the vehicle gameplay with on-foot gameplay as well. There would be several plot twists in the game where Fox and Crystal would get in trouble and even get separated at times. Near the end, it would reveal that Dracor originally destroyed Serenia and was using Fox and Crystal's efforts to power up a new weapon powered by the artifacts and the Quan Atu Lachu to destroy the Lilat system. They would have to team up to defeat him and barely escape the once again imploding planet. There's a way more to the game than just that, but that's the gist of it. Oh, and General Scales would make a comeback in it as well, with real boss fight this time. What do you guys think?" Well, I think that's quite ambitious. I do like the idea of more vehicle gameplay in my planet exploration game, although I really think that you're probably putting too much emphasis on Serenia, frankly. We know absolutely nothing about it, so if they were to do something like this, it would be completely new territory with nothing, no former lore to go with it. The only thing we know for sure is that there would be a planet that was fully dead. There is no one alive on it except whoever happened to go there after whatever happened to it originally happened. I do agree with you, though, that General Scales should make a comeback at some point and be a real boss for something. I don't care if it's Crystal or Fox fighting him. He needs to have a real boss fight. Blast of BN made a large comment with questions, and he says, "Hi, new poster here. Longtime Nintendo fan and artist, though I've actually known about the Crystal Archive for a couple years now. I've just never really had the courage to leave a comment on here. I'm quite shy. I figure the 19th anniversary of the Crystal Archive might be my cue to speak up. Also, as an artist myself, I don't really do Crystal-related work, at least not much. Maybe I should change that. My only question is if you can imagine Crystal reaching a wider audience one day, essentially outside of the internet's art and gaming communities, especially these niche ones, and conventions. Speaking of conventions, yes, I saw a Crystal banner on sale at AFC 2024, a furry convention that was held in Ontario, California. And yes, with her being my favorite video game character, I was tempted to buy it. Spoiler alert, I never bought it. I'm sorry you missed out on that, but, you know, that would require some explaining, and as you say, you're quite shy, so maybe you made the right decision not purchasing that wall scroll or banner or whatever it is. As far as how she could reach a wider audience, I think the one thing that can make the biggest difference, as with many characters, not just Crystal, is for her to be a fighter in Super Smash Bros. That would instantly make her much more widely known. Although, I think Crystal occupies a very interesting niche in that pretty much everybody who knows anything at all about Star Fox knows about her, and most people know about Star Fox. They just don't know anything about her. They just know she exists. I think if she is made a fighter in Super Smash Bros., that would drastically increase her awareness. But as you know from the way the internet works, that would also bring all sorts of attention that would be less than positive, especially given that the Super Smash Bros. Community, especially the competitive scene, is known to be quite unwelcoming at times and very insular. So I don't know how well they would, what they would do with Crystal if she became a character. I fear that they may corrupt her image more so than already has been done. But at the same time, it would be nice to have her available. Just, you know, it's nice to have her in the game, of course, for us, but also to get that much bigger audience looking at her. It's like, oh, this character, she's part of Star Fox? That's interesting. So that'd be interesting. I think that's the only real way, realistically, that she would show up. Even if they made another Star Fox game with her in it, unless, you know, they make a really big deal about how it's just Fox and Crystal doing some kind of dual open world game, the biggest thing that could happen for Crystal, I think, is Smash Brothers. Next, we have Ghost Trick, who asked several questions. First, was your fascination with Crystal immediate, or did it take time for her to grow on you? Excellent question. I've answered this before, and the answer is, when I first saw Crystal was in... I mean, I'm sure I saw her in the Nintendo Power magazine when it was being previewed, but she was below my radar of recognition at the time. The first time I really saw her in detail and thought about her in detail was when I was in college, and I was taking night classes at a community college during high school. I was taking college classes in high school, and I could drive. So what would happen is after I was done with the night class, I would drive across the street to the local Walmart where I would check out the latest games to see what was out. And then back then they had playable game kiosks where you could try out game systems, including the GameCube. And on one fateful night, which must have been like August, I went in there and they had a new demo disc in there. And the game that was available for play was Star Fox Adventures. And I thought, sweet, I'd seen some of the trailers. I had been a huge fan of Star Fox 64. This is great. Let's play the next Star Fox game, I thought. And so I booted it up and tried it. And I was immediately greeted with a blue fox girl that I'd never seen before. And boy, she was not wearing a lot of clothing. That's surprising. I didn't think Nintendo would go for something like that. That seems kind of out of character. But you know what? I trust Nintendo, so they probably have a good reason. So I kept playing. And I played, you know, the demo as far as I could get. And I was like, that's interesting. I mean, the game looks great. I'm definitely going to buy it. It's Star Fox, after all. So a few months later, I bought the game, played through the intro. Really didn't think much of Crystal. She was just there, you know, and she served as the motivation for Fox to find the Crozoa spirits and all that stuff, you know. And then I remember beating the game, and I liked how, you know, they implied that, oh, there's going to be a budding relationship here. That's cool, you know. You don't see that very often in Nintendo games. I mean, Princess Peach might give Mario a kiss or whatever, but everybody knows that she's never going to settle down with Mario, in spite of his best efforts. Well, I thought that was cool, but I set the game down for a while and didn't do anything with it. The next year, I got for my birthday a graphics card. It was an ATI All-in Wonder. This is ATI. They don't exist anymore. But they made the so-called All-in Wonder cards. These were graphics cards. They could play PC games just fine, but they had an advanced feature in that they had a television tuner and video input area on the card, which means not only could I watch cable TV on my computer, which was cool because I could record anything that I saw, but I could also plug in my game systems and record those. And I was like, ah, well, with this newfangled technology to record video at high quality and the recently available availability of DVD burners, which I had one at the time. This is on my second computer, the first computer I bought with my own money. So I was starting to explore computers in more detail at that time. I thought, well, hey, you know, I like video game cutscenes. I don't want to have to play the game to watch the cutscenes. This is well before YouTube. So I was like, I know. I will record myself playing the game, cut out the cutscenes, and then I can just play that as a DVD whenever I feel like it. So what game to do first? Well, Star Fox Adventures had a ton of cutscenes. So that's the one I started with. I replayed the entire game and recorded the entire game and then cut out the cutscenes and made a DVD. And that is where actually the very first versions of the Crystal cutscenes on the website came from. My own recordings on my capture card back in the day. Now, that was fine, and I guess that gave me more exposure to Star Fox Adventures, so I was thinking about it more. Then I went off to college. In college, I got access to the internet, like, I mean, we had had dial-up before. So there was no real, I mean, not only was YouTube not there, but video in general on the internet was not really there. It was too slow. Well, then I got high-speed internet. I started exploring. I found a Star Fox-focused forum, which is still around, starfoxonline.net, I think it is. And through that and some other areas, some other forums, I found about Crystal, and I just became more and more focused on Crystal over time. Started with Star Fox and then more focused on Crystal until the point, as I said before, when I was starting the site, I found that I knew more than most people about Crystal. And so I was like, well, that I should make a website about this. At the time, I was making websites for people and myself, and I thought, well, who better than me to make a Crystal website? I know how to make websites. I know about Crystal. Perfect. So to answer your question, the fascination with Crystal grew slowly over time. It was not an instant thing like it is with many people. His second question, the second question from Ghost Trick, is, are you for or against a Crystal-focused game with hack-and-slash mechanics like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta? Well, I'm going to have to say against. I think that it would be boring. Star Fox, as a whole, benefits from vehicle-based combat. Hack and slash, I mean, that's really not Star Fox's area of expertise. You could maybe make the argument with Crystal, but the only time we ever see her fight with her staff, or well, she didn't have her staff at the time, but she tried melee combat with a giant dinosaur and lost immediately. So I don't know. I think she'd do better with guns, frankly. And hack and slash, I just don't think the audience is there. It's an interesting genre, but I don't think it fits Star Fox very well. Okay, Question number three. If there was a Star Fox animated movie, who would you want to play the main cast? Crystal especially. Now that's a very interesting question because I don't actually know famous people. I don't know actors or actresses. I don't know who would be good for what. That's just not something I'm really aware of. I know games and gameplay mechanics and character lore. I don't know real life people and their ability to act. So it would have to be somebody who could do a British accent really well, who had a relatively young sounding female voice. But as you say, it's going to be animated, so you're not going to see that person's face. I would hope that it was either 3D animated or anime style. And to that end, I think that in a lot of cases, when you're dealing with animated movies, it would be good to find people who are not famous. Find a no-name actress who's up and coming, who can show through her audition that she can do the character. She doesn't have to already be famous. So I guess I would say, whoever does the best job. Question number four from Ghost Trick. Do you think Crystal would have the following she does if Dinosaur Planet existed? Would there be a Crystal Archive? If so, do you think? I've said many times in the past that if Dinosaur Planet had actually released on time for the Nintendo 64, probably no one would have paid attention to it very much. It would have been just as popular as Jet Force Gemini. It might have been about as popular as Jet Force Gemini, which, if you mention today, many people don't even know what that is. I think it would not have been very popular. I mean, it would have been a good game. It would have been considered a Zelda-like, but there are lots of very good Zelda-like games that ultimately never get the same level of attention that Zelda games do, such as Okami. Okami is basically Zelda, but you play as a dog. It's not that popular. It's not as popular as The Legend of Zelda. And arguably, more people even know about Star Fox than Okami. So I don't think Dinosaur Planet would have been as interesting to the internet if it had actually released. The fact that it's a lost game that people were trying to find and then eventually did find made it way more interesting to the internet than if it had actually released. Now, if that had released, that would have been a completely alternate universe. Rare would not have worked on Star Fox Adventures, most likely. The next Star Fox game would have been probably a more traditional Star Fox game made by a completely different team, and Crystal probably wouldn't be in the Star Fox universe. And if that's the case, yeah, I doubt the Crystal Archive would exist, simply because I probably would have played Dinosaur Planet at least partially, but would I have been as big a fan if it wasn't Star Fox related? Probably not. Almost certainly not. I guess the answer is, yeah, no, it probably wouldn't exist. It's for that reason that I'm super glad that the transition did occur and Crystal became part of the Star Fox universe. The last question from Ghost Trick is, do you wish that you owned my Crystal collection? He's of course referring to his absolutely massive collection of Crystal artwork, keychains, figurines, 3D prints, all sorts of things. I would say that it's a very impressive collection, and there's several things in there that I would certainly enjoy having. However, I would never want to deny the joy to a fellow Crystal fan of such a collection, especially knowing the hard work that you put into creating that collection. So, no, I mean, we each have our own collection, and it's special to each of us. I think we can take inspiration from each other's collection, but I don't want to take your collection from you, man. You just keep building it and keep enjoying it. That's what I want for you. Taking a Leak commented, the blog wasn't updating much during the Dinosaur Planet leaks. There's a lot of Crystal trivia and cool moments in there to post about. And you're right, there are. I'm sad I missed out on that period. The site was kind of slow right at the same time as everything else was exploding. I probably need to go back and find some of those things that I never got to post and post about them. Technicolor Cosplay just generally wanted me to comment on cosplay stuff. So I'll say that Technicolor Cosplay is working on updates to the Crystal cosplay, and we've been seeing more and more Crystal cosplayers in recent years. I know about one that was sent to me in my email that I need to post about, that I've never posted about before. Looks good. I have found other Crystal cosplayers that I haven't yet posted about that I need to. So we're looking at almost maybe 24 Crystal cosplayers all told when we get them all together. That's something I'd like to do this year is to get all the cosplayers, like, formally give them each their own page so I can have the actual data for here's all the cosplayers, when they appeared, what other things they've worked on, stuff like that. We're reaching the end of our comments, just as we're reaching the end of my ability to speak. So, Duncan comments, I am so happy. I really like your site when I meet the internet. I think what he's saying is, when he first got on the internet, my site, the Crystal Archive, was one of the first things he saw, and he really likes it. And I do appreciate all the positive messages I get from site readers like you. Absol Hunter 251 comments, I'm glad you're still keeping this up and running, and strong, too. Thank you for contributing to it all these years. Well, thank you. I hope to satisfy you even more this year as I post every day, or try to. And lastly, a question from Throckmorgan, who asks, how many fingers have you got? I always took you for a guy who had 6 on each hand. Well, I hate to disappoint, but I in fact only have 4 fingers and a thumb on each hand, for a total of 10 fingers. I in fact also have only 10 toes. I can't think of anything else I have extra of. Nope, nothing's coming to me. Sadly, I am completely normal from the outside. On the inside, though, you'll find a crystal fan at heart and someone with the ability and technical prowess to keep a site like the Crystal Archive running for 19 years. And with that, we've concluded all of the questions and comments that I got after asking you all for them. Thank you so much. I want to thank you all for sending those in, and maybe we'll do something like this again, get a big set of questions together for the next podcast, which won't take another 5 years to do, hopefully. As always, you can message me at mrcrystal@gmail.com about additional questions, comments, and tips you have about news stories to post. I'm always looking forward to seeing what you send me. I get a lot of tips from you about what to post. I need to set up something to make it easier for you to submit fan art so that I can retweet it or repost it. That's maybe something else to work on this year. I don't know how long this podcast is going to end up being because I had to cough and sneeze a lot, and I also had to stop in the middle because a dog was barking incessantly and I had to go wait until he stopped. But I'm guessing it's going to be around 1.5 hours long. Not the longest podcast we've ever had, but frankly, I don't think my voice is going to last much longer. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next time for the next episode of the Crystal Archive Podcast. I'm Mr. Crystal, signing off.